Hello and welcome to How to Lead a Group, a leadership podcast for everybody. Jamie, have we gotten any better names for this?
You know we haven't, okay. But you keep asking.
All right. Well, this is the podcast where we talk to experts, we distill the wisdom of the Crossroads community, and really just try to understand how best to lead the people that God has put around us, how to encourage them forward in what God is wanting to do in their lives. We'll go through some basic practical sorts of stuff and then also unpack kind of the deeper principles that make those things work. Before we get into that, my name's Eric. I'm on the content team here at Crossroads, and I'm joined as always by the lovelier half of the podcast duo.
I'm Jamie, and I'm on our communications team.
And Jamie, if you can't notice, is having a little bit of difficulty communicating today. what's going on, Jamie?
Just sometimes you wake up and this is what you talk like. So here we are. But
You get that like nice little raspy smoker voice now.
Moving on. So this week's Get to Know Your Host segment question is, what's the movie from your childhood that doesn't pass the test of time?
Okay, so I have to admit up front, I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage here because I've never been a very big movie buff. So the bank of movies that I'm pulling from is fairly small. And most of them probably haven't stood the test of time anyway. But the first one that comes to mind probably has to be Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I loved that movie when I was a kid, but I think even when I was a kid, I recognized that there's some issues with this movie. Like, why is Kevin Costner the only person that doesn't have an accent? Like, this, something doesn't feel right about this, you know?
That's fair. That's
yeah,
fair.
Just awkward. Lots of awkward in that movie, as I imagine. What about you?
For me, and this is really sad, because I loved this movie as a child, but it was Big Trouble in Little China. It was epic, and a woman gets kidnapped, and then two women get kidnapped, and then, you know, Jack Burton has to go in and save the day.
Who does?
Jack Burton. I'm just saying. Okay. He is... so many one-liners that I could just quote right now, and I made the mistake of watching it a couple weeks back, and I realized that, I'm sorry, my brother and I loved it, and so, George, I'm really sorry. That's a terrible movie. Absolutely terrible. It makes me, like, rethink checking out any other movies.
So, I've only seen snippets of that movie, but the little snippets that I remember, I don't feel like there are things that I should have been watching when I was a child. How old were you when you watched this? Dude, out of curiosity.
My parents had a very... liberal view on what was acceptable for children to watch. So,
would you allow your children to watch Big Trouble in Little China?
I mean, there's no nudity and not cursing. There's some violence. I would let a 10-year-old watch it, but I was probably younger than that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just saying. I don't have kids, though, so these are hypothetical.
That's right. All right. So, enough with that nonsense. Today we're going to talk about the Bible. So we are a church. We're talking, you know, in groups about trying to help people get closer to God. Feels like the Bible should probably become relevant at some point in that conversation. And joining us today is one of our resident Bible experts, Allie Patterson. Hey, Allie.
Hi. I don't know about that Bible expert title, but I'm happy to be with you guys today.
All right, so before we get started, we want to give you a little bit of a get-to-know-you quiz that we give everybody that comes on the podcast.
Okay.
So this simple stuff, rapid-fire, 30-second sort of thing.
Okay.
Don't overthink it. So starting off, what...
Now, why would you ask me not to overthink it? Just because I have a tendency to overthink.
Because everybody gets paranoid as soon as you say, I'm going to ask you questions about you. Everybody, I got to give the right...
I'll do my best not to overthink as an overthinker.
There you go. All right, so what do you do, and tell us a little bit about your family.
Oh, sure. Well, I am actually on the content team with Eric in terms of my role, what they pay me to do here at Crossroads. I'm also a pastor, so I marry people. I theoretically bury people, but I haven't done funerals. I've only done weddings. And I truly enjoy being amongst the commission pastors here. It's been a very cool view on our community. So that's what I do here at Crossroads. And my family, I live with my husband, Bill, and my four kids, Andrew, Luke, Zoe, and Hope. They are currently 11, 9, 7, and 5. And they're delightful. And I love being a mom. I love being a wife. We live out in Anderson Township and just love my house. I really love my life at home with them. And school's getting ready to, I guess, be out for the summer. So I'm looking forward to all kinds of fun stuff. I love the pool. Mm. I mean, who doesn't? Sunshine and pool. I'll take more of it since we live in Ohio and it's gray 300 out of 365 days a year.
What's your middle name?
Lynn.
Lynn. What's the best movie you've seen in the last year?
Probably Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
I really loved Hidden Figures. I don't see a lot of movies, so I'm in your camp. But I got some feelers out from some friends who saw it, and I took three of my kids, because it's PG, and I mm-hmm. felt like the topics they could handle would really be great to see topics that are very close in our history and that's mm-hmm. formed us sort of as a country and as a people that are still very much sort of front and center today. And I really wanted my kids to be able to engage in story because I feel like you learn great through story. And so it was really fun to take them. And it impacted me, I think, because I do think a lot about what it means to be a woman and also what it means to be a woman who wants to engage my mind, like in the life of the mind. That was a really great through line in the movie for me. And probably the thing I took away from it the loudest was that just the humility that was baked into those women mm-hmm. and how no matter what sort of happened to them, they put their head down and kept moving. And so I think that was an awesome thing for me and for the kids to see. And it was just an awesome movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
On a lighter side, how many cats is too many cats?
Oh. One cat is too many cats. I had two cats.
Exactly.
I had two cats that lived in my house for 14 years. And I will never have another cat.
You are now cat free.
I am permanently cat free.
Well done. You've made
Thank
it.
You.
You've made it through. What is your biggest pet peeve?
Biggest pet peeve.
I love the pause that happens every time we ask this question.
Biggest pet peeve.
It's the most introspective anybody gets. Like,
goodness.
What do I want to be willing to be known for being irritated?
Probably
about?
Tiny repetitive noises in the background. Like, if there's something happening and it's teeny and repetitive and over, and I'm like, you have to stop. Like, now. You've got to stop that right now. Yeah, small repetitive noises, I will soon hear nothing else, and it will drive me totally berserk.
That's a good one. So,
that's awesome. That is a good one. That's a perfectly valid pet peeve,
yeah,
I think.
That drives me nutty.
All right, so As we transition into this topic and we're thinking about the Bible and we're thinking specifically about the Bible as it comes to being in a group, for a lot of group leaders, there's probably a lot of trepidation around this topic in general. Just a lot of fear, like, I don't feel like I know enough. I don't know how this is supposed to fit. This just logistically it feels awkward. So, like, start us off. Like, what's your big picture thoughts on how you would use the Bible in a group or how to make that sort of kind of relationally natural?
Yeah. Well, I think there's sort of a funny reverse that happens. I think, honestly, the easier way on the leader of the group to mm-hmm. engage the Bible is to come straight at it with guides and helps and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that requires actually less of the leader in terms of their own planning and knowledge and things like that. I think to have a formal study of some sort, and there's all kinds of awesome ones out there, whether it's a book of the Bible or a topical study of something like grace or like parenting or, you know, where a study is created for you that takes you through the scriptures with mm-hmm. kind of pre-made questions and such. And then, of course, as a leader, you have to be great at engaging your group, but the onus is not fully on you to come up with the content
mm-hmm.
for the Bible.
Expert.
Right. Right. That sort of thing. And so in a weird way, to come straight at it with your group is sometimes a little bit easier as a leader than to try to push it in around other topics.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of our groups are not biblical study types of groups, mm-hmm. but that's what I mean about the reverse thing. I think maybe it's more comfortable as a leader to directly engage it, because then there's a plan and a way, mm-hmm. and you don't have to kind of shoehorn it in. Although that being said, I know that we have lots of groups, and we can talk about that too, that do not come straight at biblical topics. But I think it's great to occasionally do that, even in a group that's not about that, because the leader doesn't need to necessarily do it all on their own.
Sure.
So
whether you're setting it up to be like, okay, we're doing a biblical study, or if you're going to bring it up every once in a while, how do you set those expectations up front and kind of avoid the weirdness that...
I think it's best when the leader forms the group to say right up front where they intend the Bible to fit in. Because, mm-hmm. of course, you guys, we joked that we are a church and we should talk about the Bible. But I think truly because Crossroads brings in a wide cross-section of folks who have more or less experience with the Bible. It could be anything along that spectrum. As a group leader, I think it's awesome to just say right up front, here's how we'll engage the Bible in our group. And I think it's totally fine to either make that a lot or a little, or say that it might change over time. But I think just to set that expectation mm-hmm. up front, one of the ways I did that with a running group that I did, which I noticed in scrolling through our groups tool, there are lots of groups that do a physical activity together where it's not conducive to sitting down with a book.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways that I did that with my running group was to say, hey, I am going to come as the leader of the group. I am going to come with a key topic out of the Bible every week. Some weeks we'll hit that and we'll talk about it in depth. Other weeks the group took a different turn and I didn't force it in. But mm-hmm. as a leader, I was prepared every week with, here's something I'd love for the group to discuss that is just something I'm reading out of scripture and I think it would play well in the group. Mm-hmm. And so I would come prepared with that every week. And some weeks we would run and we would talk about that. Sometimes conversation flows more naturally than other times yeah. in a group setting. And so I was always ready as a leader to say, hey, this is what I read in the book of Mark this week. I noticed this theme. Here's a key verse. Let's talk about how this has happened in our life or what you think of that theme in the Bible. Or, you know, I would have just mm-hmm. a key question, something that was easy to kind of do as we ran.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that sort of puts the onus on the leader. I'm not just rolling out of bed at, you know, 7:30 getting my running shoes on. I've thought about it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I'm reading on my own. I have thought about my group. I've prayed about that and I'm ready with a topic. And again, I wouldn't always force that in. Sometimes sure. someone comes and something else happens, and I think that's fine.
Sure. So
I was always ready.
Whether it's something that you're bringing to the table like that, or it's mm-hmm. a, you know, some study that you're using,
mm-hmm.
there's always going to be limitations to what that preparation can give you. You know, what do you do as a leader in those moments where somebody asks a question you can't answer, you know?
Yeah. I like, honestly, my favorite thing to do, because I am sort of a researcher, I enjoy digging around, is just to say, I don't know, but let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a one-part question, why don't we all take that away and come back with a perspective mm-hmm. on that next week, everybody? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes if it's a more complicated thing, I've gone, okay, you research that little thing, and I'll think about this, and we'll sort yeah. of put all these pieces together next mm-hmm. week, or whenever the next meeting is. So I find it very freeing to just say, I don't know, mm-hmm. but I think that's a great question, so let's find out. We have so much information at our fingertips
mm-hmm.
That I think it's fine not to know, and I usually push that back on the group and go, gosh, I'm really not sure who that guy is or yeah. what that word means or what this topic has to do with my life today or whatever mm-hmm. the case might be. And we would sort of almost make it group homework. Like,
mm-hmm.
But again, as the leader, I was prepared to go, that's what I'm going to do with these kinds yeah. of things, and just sort of know that up front. And be willing to say, I don't know, which I think is scary for especially people who want to know the Bible. Like, I'm mm-hmm. someone who enjoys knowing what I'm talking about. I don't mm-hmm. I want to know what I'm talking about. So I've had to practice, especially in a group setting, being vulnerable enough and humble enough to say, I just don't know. Yeah. And let's just find out together. Because there are things that aren't always obvious at first glance when you're reading. So, yeah.
So in those settings, in those group settings, how do you approach it when you have non-believers?
I have typically had a conversation. Again, if you set the expectations clearly at the beginning, mm-hmm. that helps. But if I have a non-believer and I know that, or somebody who's maybe got... You know, maybe yeah. they have some church in their background, but they're just not really that interested right now. Mm-hmm. But they've joined your group because they like to run, let's say. Mm-hmm. I usually have a get-to-know-you coffee or something ahead of their first engagement with the group where I can answer some of those questions for myself. I can get a feel for where that person mm-hmm. is spiritually. And then maybe I even say, hey, I don't know if this is going to make you uncomfortable, but here's how we handle the Bible mm-hmm. in our group. I'm game if you're game, but you just need to know this is what's going to go on. And yeah. I've done that in groups before. I had a perfect example of that in a group, and I just kind of took her out to lunch and said, hey, I can tell you're a little uncomfortable. I am fine with it if you're fine with it. I don't want you to think I have any expectation upon you, mm-hmm. but I also want you to feel like you're in the right group, you yeah. know? And so we are going to engage the Bible in an ongoing way, and I want you to be okay with that. And she was fine. She just said, I feel uncomfortable reading out loud. Like, I feel like often I don't know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So we just agreed in that lunch, I'm not going to ask her to read the Bible out loud. Mm-hmm. She's going to soak it in. She's fine with staying. Yeah. I'm just not going to put that on her in the group setting. And that was a great understanding to sure. come to. So I think, again, just the leader taking the responsibility kind of outside the group time to touch base with
yeah.
someone you know is sort of in a different place.
So that, in my mind, almost kind of starts to transition into the deeper principle behind this, which is not just getting people exposed to the Bible, but actually putting them in a position where the Bible and where God speaking through mm-hmm. the Bible can start to transform their lives. Like,
yeah.
how do you as a leader start to kind of think more strategically about that and really push towards seeing transformation in people's lives?
You know, that's a great question. And I think, unfortunately, the answer is probably every single group is different.
Right.
It probably comes down to the leader being able to know their group in their heart to the mm-hmm. extent where they can tell that things are sort of changing over time.
Maybe think of it like for you as a leader, mm-hmm. what's the mental process or what's your strategy going into it or what are the things that you look for? Just give me yeah. an example of how you think through.
So I am always, because I do engage the Bible fairly significantly in most groups that I lead because that's what I love to do. I always have a plan at the outset. Mm-hmm. So I do two things. I have a plan, and then I'm also flexible to things as the group changes. And I'm watching for things such as, mm-hmm. Are people engaging the Bible outside of our group time? Mm-hmm. That's a big question for me. Or is their engagement in our group time, which is still good, but I mean, sure. that's one of the markers I look for. Are they coming to the group having read the Bible on their own or not? Mm-hmm. If the answer to that question is largely no, what I've done at times is I've set up a reading plan for the group that we don't even necessarily talk about. Yeah. Just as a leader, I want to take ownership for them to grow in that way. Mm-hmm. So I had a Facebook, like a private Facebook group for one of my groups where I would post readings and we would engage there. We just, as people are on Facebook all the time, mm-hmm. it actually worked great. And so that got us not only engaging one another outside of the group time, but it also just was a way to provide a little platform, a little organization for people that I saw were not engaging much in their Bibles outside of the group. Mm-hmm. And it was simple. It was not. So that's one of the things I look for. Are you reading your Bible on your own? The second thing I look for is, can you translate what you're reading into something that's meaningful for your life? Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways that I love to do that, I had an entire group based solely for a while on reading a common reading and coming and answering one question only. What is God saying to me out of this reading? Mm-hmm. The sole purpose for this very small group of women was like four of us. And the sole purpose was, how can I hear God through the Bible mm-hmm. into instruction and correction and love and encouragement or whatever for my own life? How can I actually listen to him as I read? So that's probably number two, is as I'm reading, can I hear God through what I'm reading? Am I learning his voice and how to listen for him? Mm. Yeah. And so I ask that question a lot. What do you think God is saying to you? And it's tempting for me. I think it's tempting for a lot of leaders, because you have leadershipy things in you. You want to tell people what they're hearing instead of asking that question, you know, or I just want to tell them what it means instead of going, oh, wait, what is God saying to you in that? That doesn't mean it means what you think it means. And if we get into that conversation, mm-hmm. we can have a conversation about what that Bible passage actually means.
Yeah.
That's a totally different question than how do you hear God when mm-hmm. you read scripture?
So I think in that, like setting the, or asking the question, like, what is this saying to you? What is God saying to you?
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of authority that comes with the Bible. So how do you help build that authority in the Bible for the people who are in your group?
Yeah, I think in a group of believers, well, let's take that and then we'll step backwards. In a group of believers, it's good as a leader to remind everyone at the outset that saying you're a Christian means that you accept the authority of the Bible over your mm-hmm. life. So if you're leading a group of believers, no question you should be saying that at the outset of your group.
Yeah.
This is a group of believers. We accept the authority of Scripture in our life, and we're going to hold each other to that standard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think you said there's a bit of authority there for a Christ follower, for someone who says, I am a Christ follower.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's no question
yeah.
that we are a people of a book, period. And so that, I think, is excellent for group leaders to say at the outset mm-hmm. and just go, listen, it's not me you're accountable to. It's this. It's mm-hmm. these scriptures. This is the word of God. This is our standard for one another.
Yeah.
And so I think that's awesome if you're leading a group of believers. If you're not, let's say you have a group that gets together. I saw one. I was just scrolling through. I love to see, you know, what groups are out there at Crossroads right now. I loved one that was just like women and wine, or, you know, and then it was like, and maybe a margarita. You know, I think that's an awesome group. I think you should read the Bible and drink wine. I have no problem with that at all. So, I think in a setting like that, you're in sort of a different ball game. And as a leader, I assume that you are a Christ follower if you're leading a group mm-hmm. at Crossroads. And so I think in that scenario, I would communicate, this is what I believe as a Christ follower. I'm mm-hmm. not going to make the assumption that you're with me, mm-hmm. but this is how I receive the Word of God mm-hmm. in my life and how yeah. I apply it to my life, believing that it is that. Did I answer the
yeah.
question? Okay.
It's almost showing like,
I'm going to model
Here's what yes. this has done for me.
Yes, I'm going to model know, it instead of assuming like, we're all on the same page.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
That's good.
And I'm going to be unashamed about that, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to make the assumption that you're going to receive it the same
yeah.
way.
That's good.
Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap things up a little bit today, a couple of closing questions I'd love to give you. You know, one of them, let's just make it super practical for mm-hmm. people. Like, what's the one pro tip that you would give group leaders, you know, that they could turn around and apply the next time they meet, whatever it is, you know, related to the Bible? What's the one pro tip?
Yeah, my biggest pro tip is share loudly what you are personally experiencing through the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter whether your group has a Bible reading plan or doing a Bible study, they're interested in what their leader is experiencing with God through the Bible. So if you are experiencing anything in the scriptures that you're reading or listening to on a daily basis, just share that readily, often, and loudly with your group.
Mm.
I think that does the most for kind of setting a tone in the group that the Word of God is alive and active. And that's mm-hmm. what I would want to do as a leader in any group.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so the other one is, you know, it's really easy, I think, for people listening to this to listen to you talk and go like, she's the expert, of course it works for her, it, you know, that's all well and good. You and I know that's not
it doesn't always work.
It doesn't yeah. always work. Can you give us an example of like how this doesn't always work even
yeah.
for you? Like, how does
for
give me a
sure
fail story.
Okay, so we were in an amazing group of couples and all sort of all believers, all like, you know, and you'd think we'd get together and we'd just talk about the Bible. And we freaking never talked about the Bible. We had the hardest time engaging the Bible because we had so much affinity. We had so many shared things about our life that actually worked against engaging scripture. And not that people rejected it, but it just felt like meeting after meeting, we just fell on our face over trying to engage scripture and make that a real part. It was probably the hardest group to truly engage scripture because we just let our own friendship overtake the group. Mm-hmm. And that continually bummed me out. But then I'm so desperate as a grown-up. Grown-ups have less time for friends. All you grown-ups listening, I know you agree with me. We're all grown-ups, and we don't have as much time for friends.
This was not in the brochure about adulthood, incidentally.
No, I know.
It
wasn't.
It was not.
I know. When you adult, you have less time for friends. That's just what happens. But I think we were all so desperate for time as friends that we let that sort of railroad over engaging, frankly, God sometimes. And I just struggled with that because friendship is a legitimate goal and end to itself. Mm-hmm. But because we had set the group up a little bit differently, I just felt like a constant failure. I felt like we're constantly failing because all we're doing is chatting. And we just needed to like hit reset and go, are we just trying to be friends? Like, let's stop feeling like a failure and figure out what this group is really about. Because I just felt like, well, we sucked again. We never talked about the Bible, not one second, this group, you know?
Here's so next week.
It was like we almost accidentally discovered that the group wasn't really about that we just actually needed friends.
Yeah.
So we didn't need a small group, we needed friends.
There you go. All right, that's awesome. Allie, thanks for joining us today.
This was fun. I love talking about the Bible. I'm a nerd like that.
Oh, no, it's a good kind of nerd. Yeah. Jamie, what are we talking about next time?
Why do you always ask?
This reaction.
I don't have an answer. Only had one once, I think.
And then I think I talked over you when you did. So it's a fail either way. Awesome. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.